P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California 92088. Our website is at resist.com. Our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. And our 24-hour book line is 760-723-8996 that you can call up and hear a partial example of the show. And also you can leave your comments, which we will put many of them on this program. And today is the, this is January
14th.
2003, and in the studio is Dr. Caldenberg.
Hey, there.
Back again.
Yes.
Wow. You know what, Martin Luther King's holiday is coming up, Wyatt.
I know, that's in honor of the niggers, I'm calling myself the Honorable Dr. Wyatt Caldenberg.
The Honorable Dr. Wyatt Caldenberg.
The niggers can make shit up, so can I.
That's true, that's true. Which university was that you educated?
The University of Beer.
I think it's the University of what's happening now.
That's true.
Well, look, we are going to celebrate something just a little before Martin Luther King's Day. In fact, I'd like everybody out there, all you white separatists, all you racial bigots, all you discriminatory people, to celebrate January 18th. Guess what that is?
That must be Bob Matthews' birthday.
Hey, you've been looking at my notes.
No, I remember. I know.
Okay, you got me there. Robert J. Matthews' birthday, he'd have been 50 years old.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. 50 years old, that's what they...
No kidding?
Yeah, that's what they said. I don't know. Maybe I should check my figures.
Whoa.
I'm accused sometimes of giving the wrong figures.
Oh.
But anyhow, that's what my little deep throat told me. He was in his late 20s or so.
I was realizing he's only a few years older than me. I'm almost 50. Good God.
Oh, my God.
That'd be shocking.
Wow. So on Martin Luther King's Day, you go around smiling all day long and watch them ask you, what you smiling about? Mm-hmm. Robert J. Matthews' birthday was just a few days earlier, and also, when's James Earl Ray Day coming up? I thought we...
That's the same day as Kuhn's birthday.
Yeah, James Earl Ray,
Or April the 4th, that's the day Martin Luther King got whacked.
Yeah, that probably would be better.
Yeah.
April the 4th for...
I know, that was a good day.
James Earl Ray Day.
1968.
Hey, the new paper's out, and I'm telling you, it's swinging, and old Dr. Caldenberg is working real hard on it.
Ooh.
We got 20 pages there. Man, 20 pages, that's a lot, especially with the small print.
Yeah.
The print will be getting a little bigger, I think, next time. Anyhow, because Dr. Caldenberg says we must get as many articles as we can in the paper.
Suckers in there.
And tell everybody to get high-powered reading glasses.
God,
to hell with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just kind of feel bad if somebody writes something for the paper and we don't have room for it.
Yeah, so... $30 a year, man. $30 a year, and that's in U.S. currency. That's 12 issues. Send that to P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. But always make your checks or money orders to John Metzger. And, of course, you can pay by PayPal if you decide to. And if you want to be a real secretive type, or super secretive type, you don't want nobody messing around and know nothing, well, put that old money in a priority mail envelope that's only $3.50, and they don't mess with that stuff. Yeah. Now, if you're up there in Soviet Kanukistan, that's that place called Canada, where they have terrible Jewish kind of laws, even worse than the U.S., so you don't have freedom of speech up there. I was just playing on the Internet, radio, shoutcast.com, our trip up there and everything that happened, the speeches last night. And I already get an email from guys that are listening and they hear the show. We're starting to get people who listen to the show all the time.
Whoa.
Yeah, live.
Live.
Yeah, and the other night, I think it was Sunday night when they had all that anti-Aryan stuff.
Oh, yeah, stuff I told you about.
Yeah, you called me about that, and I turned it on, and I got the mic hooked up in here, and I was commenting at each break instead of an advertisement for cars. I was giving them the real skinny and how they were lying.
Oh, a lot of that stuff is well bullshit. What was called the enemy among us?
Yeah, well,
in America.
I think I taped a lot of it. I think what we're going to do is make a program of it, and we'll run it and stop it and talk about it.
Yeah.
And put it on tape. And I think that'll work out pretty good. Hey, now, remember, you can get 6 one-hour shows, complete one-hour shows, that we put on a VHS cassette tape, like you put your movies on. Well, we just put the audio on, and then you shove that into your VCR, and you can listen to 6 hours of war radio, and that's only a $15 donation. Man, that's a good deal.
Yeah,
we were gonna sell those things for about $10 a piece.
Yeah, which is easy to copy
on cassette. Now I'll tell you what, that if you get them on the video cassette, you could take an audio player, audio recorder, and tape them off the video system, off your TV speaker, and then you got a cassette too.
Yeah.
Man, this is a low overhead operation,
yeah, sure.
Man. We really help people out here. Oh, I forgot to mention, for all you people that call in from outside the country, and we do get people calling in Shoutcast and getting the war radio and so forth from outside the country. It's a $50 donation for the newspaper First Class, and we sure don't make much on that deal, but at least we get our paper all over the world. And guess what? You know, a guy emailed me from New York City.
Whoa. That's where
he's sort of in the motion picture business.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's written a couple of books and everything. Well, anyhow, he tells me he's been seeing war turning up in several stores, newsstands around New York City.
Yeah, I know it's on the third eye.
Well, we had one store we used to put it into, and we probably need to send them some more. They're at See, Hear, Fanzines, Magazines, and Books. They're down at 59th East 7th Street. New York City, 10003. Yeah, that's See Here Fanzines, 59 East 7th Street, New York, New York. Now, look, go on down there if you're in New York and ask them for war. Get a bunch of people. Hey, get a bunch of street people there and give them all 50 cents and a cup, bottle of cheap wine and have them go in asking for war. Well, anyhow, I'm due to send them a bunch of papers, so if you really have a problem, you need a fix, and it's the middle of the night, you can't find your war paper, run down to that place and get one.
Yeah, I heard it's also in a new thing called The Third Eye.
The Third Eye,
I guess it's near Wall Street or somewhere.
Well, that's good. We want a lot of them near Wall Street.
Yeah.
A lot of other things we'd like to see close to Wall Street,
that's
too,
true.
But we won't go into that.
Yeah, I saw a movie called About Smiths.
With
Jack Nicholson in it.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, that was a pretty good movie. You saw it too, right?
Yeah, I saw it just the other night. I got a hand at Jack Nicholson. He can play the damnest different parts of anybody I ever seen.
Yeah, it was a hilarious movie.
That movie was almost a teaching course. It was a training course.
Yeah.
You know, because here is a guy who gave his whole life in subservience and loyalty to this big company, big corporation, and they give him a big speech and a gold watch, I guess, and kick his ass out the door and don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I, you know, there's probably millions of guys that have done that.
Uh-huh.
You know? Now, you know what they should do, and I was talking to my lady friend about this, corporations should have a slower phasing out period for these guys, so they're doing something or maybe working half a day, but they're not just kicked out on the street because a lot of these guys, of course, they don't care, the corporations.
Oh no!
But it would be nice because these guys wouldn't end up committing suicide and becoming alcoholics.
Yeah.
You know, a guy. Now that's of course what we like to bring out about our opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Now I bet you that guy Jack was hell on heels and on wheels in his job.
Oh, yeah, he's just a capitalist prick.
I bet he was a dictator son of a bitch.
I bet he screwed a lot of ladies out of their pension.
But when he was off the job, he was nothing.
Oh, yeah, his wife dominated his life.
She had to tell him what to do and how to do it.
How to dress.
How to dress, how to pee.
Yeah. How to pee,
even made him sit down to pee.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
And then when she dies, he gets mad and pisses all over the
floor.
You know what I like? The right-wing conservatives hated this picture. I heard him talking about, this is putting down middle America. Well, middle America needs to be put down because they become such hypocrites.
Oh, yeah.
There was great lines in that movie.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
Great lines. And then, of course, he adopts one of these little niggers.
Oh, yes, the males, like Dudu or something from Central Africa.
Igbo or something.
Some nigger shit.
Yeah, that was all through the movie.
Yeah, that was basically the narrative, as he's writing letters to the nigger.
Pouring his heart out to the little nigger.
Yeah, it ended where the nigger sent him back a picture of him holding the nigger's hand or that.
Yeah.
And then some men sent it back to him.
Yeah, so the message in the movie at the end was, adopt a little nigger kid from Africa.
Oh, yeah.
If you're lonely, and if nobody understands
then
you,
you'll have love.
You'll have
meaning in your corporate life.
And then how about those people in the trailer park?
Oh, yeah.
They were like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
I thought for sure they finally get down to saying, have you received Jesus in your heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. But I think I'd recommend that movie to all the people who know how it goes.
What shocked me is Kathy Bates, about 60 years old, big and fat, appeared naked in the movie.
Hey, yeah, but you know, I criticized Jack because he was so uptight. He had her in the hot tub. Well, why not play around a little?
Yeah.
He was so damn uptight.
Oh, yeah.
He hadn't anything else. His former wife was fat, too.
Yeah.
So Kathy Bates was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah.
She was sort of one of the cooler people in the movie.
She was
happy, da-da-da-da-da, and all that kind of stuff. And so here he is all down in the dumps, and she flips off her wardrobe and jumps in the hot tub with him, and he freaks and runs upstairs and hides like a little boy. I'll tell you, you got to see this movie because it's sort of a real training ground to get your mind right about how the average sheep are.
No.
And how, you know, they want to hang on to their kids. The kids out of this, kids, they're going to marry her, they're going to marry.
Well, I thought what was a good thing about is the kids didn't want him around, but they wanted his checks to come every month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that, that's probably really true. We all know relatives like that that want your money and don't want you around.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I told my lady friend, I said, look, you can kiss my ass before I go running after my kids like that and kissing their ass and sending them all kinds of money. If they don't want me around, well, the hell with it. I can operate very well on my own. I'm 64 years old. And if people don't want to be my friend, well, fine.
Yeah.
Piss on them.
That's true.
I can entertain myself all the time.
That kind of money, he could have bought a lot better friends than his daughter.
Well, yeah, and that jerky she married, full of waterbeds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, but the point was, it was beyond his control. He should have just said, screw it, instead of trying to stop it.
Yeah.
You can't control other people's lives that much. You can talk to them, you can give them advice, and then back off.
Well, I thought the whole thing with the son was he was kind of jealous of the son because he wanted his daughter to be his mom, and the son came in, and the son was just kind of like him. His son was a loser, and his daughter was taking care of her husband.
Yeah.
So he was kind of a jealous. He was like, almost like sibling rivalry. You know?
That's true. And how about the former husband of Kathy Bates? He was cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, that's Sunday night at the movies with Dr. Kaldenberg and Terrible Tommy and
the Honorable Reverend
Dr.
Reverend
Dr. Wyatt Kaldenberg.
Yeah,
okay, I got it right. Well, hell, Wyatt, you got more shingles on your name now than Dr. Warner down there and Dr. Fields.
God damn, I joined the NAACP, man. I got all these titles.
Well, you surpassed them all.
BS, MS, PhD.
Yeah, BS, that's for sure. Wait a minute here. Okay, what's next? What are we going to talk about? Hey, they're talking about guarding the water. The water as a tempting target. Reservoirs hard to poison, but also hard to protect. Well, I'll tell you, I think the biggest danger they've got with the water is if somebody turns off the spigot, not whether somebody tries to put poison in it. You don't have to put poison in a reservoir. You just bust it up so there's no water.
Well, these Mexicans,
that's worse than poison.
Well, Mexicans are going to drink it all. How long they expect all these rivers going
to
last?
I want to tell you one thing. If that water is shut off to the southwest, you're going to see hundreds of thousands of white people with mattresses on the top of their car headed back east to the Midwest. But you're also going to see the wetbacks fleeing south of the border. So we could colonize that place. You know, Phoenix would be a ghost town.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine Phoenix without air conditioning?
Oh, yeah, I lived in Phoenix.
Oh, my God.
Well, it actually better, because one thing, I had a job where I kept going in and out of businesses.
Yeah.
Maybe like 120 degrees outside, and everybody had their air conditioning out at 69. I was sick all the time. And you go from, you know, it's like walking into a wall of heat.
Yeah. That could fry your brain, yeah, man. Fry your brain. I'd have to, boy, with my bald head, I'd have to wear a big sombrero. One of those big Mexican ones.
Oh, yeah.
They're about 4 feet across. That's what I'd have to wear down there.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think, my lone wolves in Arizona tell me they can't take it much longer. They're getting out of there. However, I do know some people down there have been there for 20, 30 years.
Used to.
Don't give me that stuff. They used to tell me you'd get used to the snow and rain and sleet and crap and roads and running off the roads back in the Midwest. I never got used to it and never will. And I'm not going back. Okay. Dr. Kahlenberg, you know the FBI, they've been feuding with the ATF for a long time. I don't blame them. The ATF is at the bottom of the barrel.
I'm waiting for a shootout.
I mean, even the FBI looks pretty good compared to the ATF.
Yeah.
Half the people working for the ATF are ex-hood.
Oh, the stones have to be.
Or drug addicts and a whole bit. But now they're trying to put a happy face, and he says, the FBI head says, he backs a shift of firearm agency into this big deal they're putting together. You know this big deal? They're hiring tens of thousands of people to work in this new big super agency.
That's amazing.
Yeah, affirmative action. So you know how these super agencies work. They're the most incompetent of everything. I mean, at least the independent groups sometimes get lucky. But boy, those big outfits, you can snow them a lot.
Yeah, the big keyword for government jobs is always cover your ass.
Cover your ass.
Everybody's covering each other's ass, the whole thing. It's all screwed up.
Now, they got a German comedy going on over there about the Nazi era.
Yeah.
About
the Holocaust?
See, no laughing matter. It's about Dr. Goebbels. They make a comedy out of it. Now, that's going over there, and boy, they're pissed off in Germany.
On TV?
And the Jews are, well, not yet.
Oh.
But I can't wait. In fact, I want to see this new movie coming out. Forget the guy that's playing Hitler in that. Young Hitler.
John Cusack, and then Robert Downey Jr. is going to be another one.
Yeah, and they're going to talk about Hitler's young life and his Jewish friend that was the art dealer. And I saw Cusack interviewed on television about that. He really dances along the fine line.
Yeah.
Do you realize how careful these people have to dance not to come off one way or not to come off to be at least a bit sympathetic or anything, that Hitler did anything right? Now, it's very difficult for an artist like that to talk like that because, you know, really an artist would like to just say what he felt. You know? Well, Hitler was good at this, and I disagreed with him on that, but I agreed with him on this. No, you can't say that.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I was watching the International History Channel. They had a thing called A Cult in the Third Reich.
Yeah.
There's some Jewish lady on there. She said, this is the first time I've ever heard this. It's pretty bizarre. That Himmler was taking all the perfect Aryan specimens, the tallest Aryans, the most, you know, Nordic-looking guys. He was chopping their heads off, and he was using their decapitated heads to talk to Tibetan monks.
These Jews will stop at nothing.
How could the producer of the thing even take that seriously?
Well, if they believe in the lampshade deal, I mean, why wouldn't they believe in that? I mean, you know, they'll believe anything you can say about the...
What if the Tibetan monks got to answer them back? Well, they probably didn't have any Aryan heads, so they couldn't make a phone call back.
Well, they should have employed one of these Jewish psychics, and then she could have taken care of it.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, looky here. What do you think about that?
Holocaust, it burnt in Germany. Oh, my.
Yeah, they torched the Holocaust Museum. Yeah, that was in Wittstock. The Brandenburg State Police said today, and they burnt that damn thing to the ground, I guess, up in northeast Germany.
So now it really is a burnt Holocaust.
Oh, yeah, it's, they really, I guess that. I guess that'll show them.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
So you know that enemy among us that we were talking about there?
Yeah.
A while ago. He had a kind of interesting statement. There was this Christian, I don't know if he's a Lutheran or a Catholic or whatever, but he was saying that Christian identity really wasn't Christian. It was pagan because basically they wanted to preserve the race and the tribe, and that's contrary to Christian beliefs. So that was kind of interesting that he actually admitted that.
Now, is that amazing that they would come out with that admission?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what... I mean, what is abnormal about wanting to take care of your own family, your own tribe, your own group?
Yeah, it would be like if saying if Orville Wolf wants to protect his cubs, he's a hater. You know, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, and this goes along with the anti-nature kind of thing that's always been in the church.
Yeah.
That's going against nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, all these asylum seekers all over the world, Dr. Caldenberg, Australia is sending them out to islands off the coast of Australia. Now, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. We got San Clemente Island. We got
Hawaii.
We got all these... Hawaii, that'd be a good place.
That'd be a great place for queers.
It's a race-mixed place anyhow.
Queers.
Let's do that. We'll send them all offshore, all these asylum... These so-called immigrants. Well, but they might not want to go that far away. Maybe we ought to put them out here on San Clemente Island for a while.
Maybe we ought to put them in a cannon and see which island they hit.
Oh, boy, you're a mean man. Dr. Caldenberg, I figured a surefire way of solving this problem. And, you know,
what
got...
What problem's that?
Well, the wetback problem.
Wetback problem.
That is the main problem, one of the main problems. Now... You got to get them to put more and more in a vehicle, okay?
That's true.
Then get them out on these highways and byways, because we see 9 of them were killed in Iowa as a pickup and a tractor trailer collided head on. Look at that.
Cool.
Well, I hope the driver of the truck survived, but...
He may have been a Mexican, too.
Well, that's possible nowadays, but boy, at least we cut down their population a little bit there, and so, I don't know, on Interstate 80 up there.
How do we get in the Yugo?
Well, maybe we can get... what if we got an 18-wheeler filled with them in the back and got a bigger 18-wheeler coming from the other way? You know, that might work. We could get rid of a lot of them.
Get a trash compactor. You can crush them down.
Whoa, yeah, man. Hey, Dr. Caldenberg, here is a here's a deal from Michigan. Ferndale, Michigan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's up in there by where Rocky lives, you know? It's proclaimed this preacher, this no-good preacher, has declared it a hate-free zone. Now, I want everybody listening to this show that's anywhere near Michigan or anywhere near Ferndale to just drop every piece of literature you can find in Ferndale, Michigan.
So if it's a hate-free zone, does that mean he's banned the Bible? The problem with the Bible can't
come? Well, I don't think he understands it that way, but maybe he is.
The Bible is the most hateful book I've ever read.
It's a very hateful book. In fact, if Hitler learned anything about genocide, he learned it from the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's a hate-free zone, but we're going to turn it back into a hate zone.
So it's a hate-free zone if you catch like a Jesus freak with a Bible, can kick his ass and say, get that hate out of here, Jesus.
Turn him into the local Jew.
Beat the crap out of that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So Ferndale, Michigan. Hey, boys, always save a batch of literature to dump on Ferndale, Michigan. Well, Dr. Caldenberg, I see that the trust between Israel and the U.N. has hit a low point.
Oh, tell me it's not true.
Oh, it's terrible.
Ms. Nigger, is he, Israel or is he with the U.N.?
He's something about the Palestinians here. I guess he's demonstrating for the Palestinians.
Oh.
I don't know where he came from. Probably Tanzania.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you, I mean, you know, that's a terrible thing. Israel just don't like the U.N. no more.
Years ago,
I used to pick it and hand out literature by the tons to get out of the U.N. Mm-hmm. when I was a bircher, and people called me every name in the book.
Yeah.
See, I'm always out of sync by about 25 years. Yeah. So now everybody says, yeah, let's all get out of the U.N., and I'm saying, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not so bad. If Israel's mad at him. Well, I got an email here, or actually a letter. It's probably going to ruffle some feathers.
Oh, who's this from?
Well, he don't sign it.
Oh, he didn't want to ruffle some
feathers. Well, he might have put his name someplace, but it's in an envelope around here. Quote, in conversations with acquaintances who revere the Third Reich and fascist Italy, the one thing always comes up is how nicely racist the regime supposedly were. A careful study of both show a decidedly political, not racist, mentality at work. Indeed, just as the Confederate leaders in America only played the race card to defend an economic system, the Confederate slave capitalism, The leaders in Europe played the same game to defend a political system, a socialist nation-state nationalism. The huge numbers of whites sacrificed for both systems should hardly fill white racists with good feelings. Ultimately, the Third Reich never followed a truly racist path as a modern white racist would define it. Examples abound, such as supposed Nazi racism in sterilizing the offspring of German women who had relations with niggers of the French occupation forces in the Rhineland. This was not universal and was implemented more because the soldiers were serving the French rather than because they were niggers. A good argument against the supposed anti-nigger racism of the Nazis can be read in the book Destined to Witness by Hans Massaquoi, born to a white German woman and a Liberian nigger diplomat in the 20s. He was never sterilized. Indeed, he was accepted into German schools and was training as an apprentice when World War II ended. Another example is the NS regime opening its universities to non-Aryans from the Middle East. These guest students were looked at as the vanguard of future Middle East allies of the Reich. One unsuspected consequence was that many Aryan girls were having relations that even the Reich's tough racial laws were not deterrent enough to stop. Having a lot of white German males out of the area fighting a war played into this. In the same vein, fascist Italy only outlawed miscegenation in the late 30s, and this was more economic than anything else. Half-breeds born of white Italian soldiers and nigger Somalia, Ethiopian, and other non-whites were eligible for state support, welfare. Outlawing miscegenation didn't exactly stop it, but it did eliminate the fascist regime's financial obligations to the half-breeds. Exposing these things to fellow racists is not an attempt to denounce their beliefs, but rather to show that there has never been a truly racist system in the past that placed white racism and racial survival above every other consideration. The lesson here is not to lament the losses of the past, since our system has yet to be implemented. Fight for the future, not the past. End quote. What do you think, Doctor?
I was telling you that my dad in World War II went into France. France was under a Nazi occupation. He said that was the first time the American soldiers ever saw a nigger with a white woman. He said, like, there'd be a nigger and a white woman in Paris with a black baby. They were just on Nazi occupation. And he said in the Rhineland Valley, there was a whole bunch of dark people. He was kind of surprised that they'd be in Germany.
The
Nazis didn't do shit to them.
I've argued this for a long time. A lot of people don't like to have it brought up. But I say that a pure racist struggle has only now begun. Now, I don't believe that World War II or World War I or the Confederacy or anything else was based on straight racism.
Well, that's one thing about the American race movement is we created Adolf Hitler in our own image. We made Adolf Hitler an American racist, even though he wasn't really Pan-Aryan, he was a German nationalist.
Right.
Because he basically hated the Irish and he hated the Slavs. He hated quite a few people.
Well, yeah, and because the Slavs, I find many of the Slavs more Aryan than many Germans. That's
what he Mein Kampf says, that the Irish are like the niggers because they create their own ghetto. And he said that the Germans shouldn't marry Austrians because Austrians had Slavic blood and improved the Austrian bloodline, but not the German bloodline.
Yeah, that's why we got to take a lot of this with a grain of salt, and we all tend to fall into that sort of a trap once in a while, but I don't think we should dwell on it. But the point is that only now are we beginning a true, really racist struggle.
Well, even in Europe, a lot of them don't even accept the American view of racism. A lot of them are petty nationalists.
Oh, yeah, look at the trouble they're giving Colin Jordan over there in Britain now, where the BNP?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're denouncing the Nazis the whole bit, and the racism. And Colin Jordan's the only one. I just received one of his bulletins. It's hanging on to the white Britain situation.
Well, I remember about 8 years ago, a bunch of skinheads went and attacked a whole busload of Polish immigrants into Germany.
Yes.
Because they didn't want any inferior Poles. There was a whole bunch of church running around. They didn't see any of that, but they really hated the Poles.
And I blame the leadership of the right wing in all these countries. And this country.
Yeah.
This country's got the same problem with the right wing.
Oh, yeah, a lot of reactionary.
They're very sloppy on the racial types they let in. I remember way back in the mid-70s when I was working with David Duke, and he was recruiting people in Louisiana, that I said, David, we would never recruit those kind of people in California. No, these are kinky haired people, and they're dark, and they're hell, they're darker than a lot of the Mexicans are out here. And Dave said, oh, no, they're all right, they're all right. I know one of his closest buddies down there was kinky haired mulatto that he called, you know, his people got to believe they were white. I was embarrassed.
I remember we went to Aryan Nations, that guy Cowboy, you know, there was the head of Oklahoma Aryan
Nations. Yeah,
I mean, he looked more like a fucking Indian than a cowboy.
I know he did.
Pitch black hair, black eyes, brown skin.
Yeah, and you see it almost every time you would go to one of these memberships.
Well, you know, the first time I thought there, I thought that they recruited like a non-white nationalist group to speak, like, you know, like the head of AIM or something, you know, to speak to tell us what the Indian thought.
Well, that Aryan Nations with that bar mitzvah Jew that that was from a wealthy family.
Was that the guy that... Mike, a Pog, that has the dad was a Polynesian guy.
Oh, that was from black, Detroit?
Yeah, pitch black hair, black eyes.
That was SS Action?
Yeah, Polynesian.
I used to tell Bob Miles, I said, what the hell are these people doing around here? They're not even white.
I know.
So the first thing...
What's funny is to see a non-white who claims to be an Aryan because he's a Hebrew.
Yeah.
You know, he says, that, well, I'm a pure Aryan because I'm a true Jew, and the guy isn't even white. You know, he looks like some kind of a darky or something.
Boy, a psychiatrist had fun with that, man.
I know.
You know what? We ought, they ought to have a convention and get all the Asians that think they're Jews, and all the niggers that think they're Jews, and all the whites who think they're Jews together. Wouldn't that be an interesting meeting?
What a kike fest.
Boy, that would be a real convention. They'd kill each other right off.
I was thinking about starting a new movement called African Identity, and our gimmick would be that white people are the true niggers.
That's a good idea. Well, the Right Honorable Reverend Dr. Colin Berg, I have an announcement to make.
What's that?
Well, we have a man by the name of Mr. Lieberman that's going to run for president.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mr. Lieberman is an admitted Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So I decided that we got to put all our forces behind his push for president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason for that is, I know you're going to ask me, now why would you do that?
Why the fuck would you do that, Tom?
Well, anyhow, this is the reason. Number one, we always have the Jews in the background telling the president what to do, and he doesn't. Well, it's time to have the Jew right up front where we can see him.
Yeah.
So he can say, well, it wasn't me. It was those dirty white Gentiles back there that made me do it.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I've noticed that any time a Jew is in power like that, that they're less likely to support the state of Israel than the Christians.
They want to distance themselves.
Well, the Christians, or at least the people who claim they're Christians, are more Jewish than the Jews.
Yeah.
Now, a secular Jew, Lieberman would be, could go down here and seal this border immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Because if anybody said shit against him, he'd say, you're an anti-Semite.
Mm-hmm.
So for these reasons, I believe that the whole racist struggle should support Lieberman's run for the presidency.
Just like
do you think the right wing will think I'm going out on a limb there?
I think so. Well, it was like Disraeli in England. He was the most imperialistic and pro-British prime minister they had, because he wanted to prove to everybody he wasn't really a kike. He was actually one of them. So he'd go out of his way to be British. You know, like a lot of like the regular British people were kind of, you know, a little bit on the guilt side. Like, he just wanted to show everybody that he was a regular Brit.
Well, yeah, and he was the one who designed the whole African policy, colonization.
Oh, yeah, India, too.
Crushing the blacks.
Oh, he smashed the hell out of India.
Yeah, so that all came out of this Jew. And, of course, with Kozanovich next to Stalin, was killing everybody, killing all these Jews, and he was a Jew.
Well, Benjamin,
if you want to get rid of Jews, you got to hire a Jew.
Oh, is that Benjamin P. Judah?
Judah P.
Benjamin.
Yeah.
He was the most fanatical supporter of the Confederacy.
Yeah, he was Secretary of State and Secretary of War, and he got out with a boat full of gold, I heard.
Well, he didn't want the Yankees. Well, actually, you know, I can understand he just didn't want the Yankees to get the money. Plus, he wanted it for himself.
Well, yeah, and wasn't it some rabbi in the South that was pushing slavery?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, look at our boy Karl Marx.
Yeah.
Wrote that book, A World Without Jews.
Yeah.
Hell, that's more anti-Semitic than, you know, my struggle.
Well, he was the one that invented the so-called scientific anti-Semitism. Like, it wasn't based on race, it was based on science.
So this is our announcement. Dr. Collenberg, are you going to assist me in promoting Mr. Lieberman for president?
Oh, yeah.
All you people out there, now, if you got the logic behind this, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you're like some of these boneheads, you'll strictly react and say, I knew that Metzger. He's a Bolshevik Jew. He's a Jew lover, and that. Right?
Yeah, maybe we have Colin Powell running for the vice president. Or Tiger Woods.
Colin Powell speaks Yiddish. That'd be a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, Colin Powell's not too hot on attacking Iraq either.
And you'd have a Jew with his little nigger lackey. It'd be perfect.
Well, but we'd have a half nigger, see, so we'd have white there too. There'd be some black. And there'd be some Jews.
Oh, they're bringing you in here.
And they would probably be more pro-Palestinian, maybe. I know they're not going to be big Israeli fans.
I know, and if he was president, too, everybody would attack him, and they would slip in anti-Semitism. They'd say, oh, we're just attacking because he's president, not because he's Jewish.
Yeah, right. I think it's a no-lose situation.
Yes.
Win on all points. Hey, Right Reverend Dr. Kaldenberg, I forgot to mention the address for Gothic Ripples, and that's Colin Jordan's paper over there in England. Gothic Ripples, Thorgarth, Thorgarth, Greenhow, Greenhow, Hill, and then Harrogate, Harrogate, comma, then HG3, 5JQ, and that's in the UK. And here again, a lot of things we agree with old Colin Jordan.
You know, he's a good guy. He's like Rockwell in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he is. He's stuck by it all these years, too. Remember that big tire settlement they had about all those tires? Bridgestone, Firestone, Ford Motor Company, and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess a suit settled in the death of civil rights leader.
Uh-oh.
A civil rights leader don't know how to drive a high-profile vehicle, turned the son of a bitch over and got killed, maimed or whatever. And that's, they sued, and they got all this money and everything, and changed the whole, almost bankrupt the tire company.
Yeah.
Now, I learned when I was a kid, when you're driving a vehicle that's way up in the air, you slow down when you go around the curve. You know that?
Yeah.
But you notice the way these SU drivers... Now, I don't believe there should be any recompense for stupidity.
Oh, yeah.
These are stupid people.
Well, they always tell you a high-profile vehicle shouldn't go out on windy roads and stuff.
And if you read your manual in the car, it'll tell you what safe is for that car. Now, I've got an old Ford Taurus wagon. It sits way low to the ground. And you do, too, don't you? Yeah. Well, they say those are safer at high speeds being overloaded than an SUV.
Oh, yeah.
But they continually overload these SUVs with all their nigger kids and go around the corner too fast and then sue everybody.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Everything. Everybody's a victim in this country. Well, Bill O'Reilly said there was a 42-year-old mother of two was gang raped in New York City by five illegal aliens. How about that?
Well, they deserve it.
Well, for California's trouble, finally, New York didn't give a shit. Now they're going to give a shit.
The bitch would say it has nothing to do with race.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, guess what? You know, you'll like this, you old Trotskyite, you. You know, under Bush's new plan, tax plan, guess what some of these people would save in money here?
How much?
Jim Walton from Walmart would save $197.3 million.
Hallelujah.
John Walton of Walmart will save $197.3 million.
Praise the Lord.
Alice Walton of Walmart will save $196.7
million. How much will I save?
S. Robson Walton, Walmart, will save $196.5 million. And Helen Walton, Walmart, will save $196.2 million. Philip Knight of Nike will save $17 million. Sanford Wheel, Citigroup Bank, $2.5 million. William Clay Ford Sr., Ford Motor Company, will save $2.3 million. And Michael Eisner's way at the bottom. Disney, $1.1 million. So, boy, isn't that Bush a nice guy.
Yeah.
He really helps out.
How much do I say?
Well, he helps out you.
I'm not even on the
list. There wasn't enough room on the list to have you.
My 75.
No, you're not going to save a damn thing. You got to give these people all your money. You know, I heard a guy on the radio the other day said, well, what the hell is the Republican Party going to do when they put all these defrauders from the corporations in the slammer? We won't have anybody to donate them money. The Republican Party, they get most of their money from the crooks. Hey, let's listen to our phone call.
Oh, yeah,
let's go with that, huh? Okay, here we go.
I tried to send this email, Tom and Dr. Colvinberg, to Matt Hale in the fucking public library, and I couldn't. My mailbox is full, but I slept on this recorder. But here goes, if I get time. Reverend Hale, I'm deeply saddened by recent filthy Jew developments. I wish I could be in the Jewish court with you on the 8th.
Amen.
I'm very worried about you. When the Jews get desperate, they do desperate things. It's not called the criminal justice system for nothing. The most vicious criminals on the planet operate that black market of blackmail and extortion. Reverend Gale, years before Reverend Hale, preached that nothing would ever be settled in court. Gale preached that the judicial system was squarely opposed to white folks and dedicated to the systematic destruction of our noble white race. Well, Reverend Gale was railroaded into the Kanga Jew courts, but only because Reverend Gale had a deep and abiding reverence for life. He realized that an all-out shootout between his white bodyguards and the white law...
I do agree with that, man.
Yes, I wonder if he's going to call back and finish.
But let me tell you a little bit about the Gale situation. When Reverend Gale, Colonel Gale, was picked up, and he was a good friend of mine, he was kidnapped by the Federals on a tax charge. He was in very bad shape. He had emphysema. I think he was on oxygen at the time. They came about 3 o'clock in the morning, drug him out of his house in his mobile home in Mariposa, took him over to Vegas and threw him into the federal clink. And of course, you know, for somebody that's sick, one of those cells is...
Well, I heard you like he was like a cold concrete floor and like one old blanket.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the case. But here's what happened. I was rallying the troops to go to Las Vegas, mm-hmm. at least to demonstrate mm-hmm. around that building. And guess what? It was his wife.
Yeah.
His wife said, "Tom, I don't want you to do it."
Yeah.
And I didn't do it, but I regret not doing it because she was wrong.
Yeah. Well, they always say, well, if you don't make a big deal, they'll be soft on you.
Oh, I get so sick and tired of hearing that from wives and mothers and all that kind of, if you don't say anything, they may be easier on them.
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit, they're harder on them.
Well, that's the
and
thing.
And I really felt horrible because there was my friend Colonel Gale, almost dead when they got him out there. In fact, he died not too much after that. And so that's just the way it is, and it's a sad situation. Remember it well.
Thanks to you and your phone messages and your great organization, I'm starting to feel a little bit more bold. Now, the other day I saw a white trash whore and her nigger boyfriend walking down the street. And I was in my car. I opened up the window and I shouted "nigger lover" to that
person.
And they heard me real good. And I drove away, and I don't think they saw my face or license plate number.
Hate crime.
But I don't even care if they did. I'm starting to see this all the time. These white bitches and their nigger pimp boyfriends just strutting around.
Amen.
Out as peacocks. And I couldn't believe it. I actually shouted "nigger lover" to the assholes. And I feel pretty good about it. And I don't think they got my license plate number or my face, but I think I got the message across very well.
Cool.
Thanks for your great message, and sorry about what happened to Matt Hale. He's a good guy.
Well, you see, we're infecting everybody.
That's
Wyatt.
True, like a virus.
Yeah, the right Reverend Wyatt Colvinberg agrees that man has come out of the closet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, and we agree about Matt Hale, and we want to get him out of there, and hope we can do something to get him out of there. Okay, let's go to our next caller here.
Yeah, Tom, don't forget good old Dennis Mahon was also arrested in Canada.
Yeah.
Banned.
Yeah.
I've been banned. Did you hear that? What happened in the Congo? There's a Congo revolution going. There's a Congolese Liberation Front, I believe they're called. And they're being accused of eating the pygmies. No lie. I'll send you an article about it. Yeah, they're eating the pygmies, man.
That's pretty good.
Eating all of those pygmies. I guess they must really be hungry. Or maybe it's a delicacy thing for them. Yeah, keep up the good work. You got a great message. And a half an hour is fine.
Well, that was old Dennis Mahon down there in Arizona land. Yeah, down there by where the revolution may be going to start, or the Civil War on the border, huh?
The invasion.
The invasion.
Well, it's already started.
Well, the invasion already happened, the counter-invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that Mahon was my foil in Canada, and what he was to do was to go in through Toronto, and I was supposed to go in through Victoria. And, of course, the whole thing was a setup. That we set it up so where they thought we were in Victoria, chasing me all around the place, and while Mahon was coming through Toronto. So they concentrated on Toronto, and we had them totally snowed that we were in Victoria. We had a good time. That's a good story. I'll tell the whole thing sometime.
Yeah.
Okay, next caller.
Yeah, Tom, I really enjoyed your wide area resistance radio show. I enjoyed listening to the trial the last 2 days. It was definitely a waste of taxpayers' money. You were definitely set up. He was definitely coached. And if you would, could you please replay it so I can listen to it again and try to learn something from it? And I'm not happy with the outcome either. Thank you very much.
Well, the caller's talking about the playing of the entire trial in Portland. I've got it up there. It's about, six or seven tapes.
You got one for 2 weeks, didn't you?
At slow speed.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Well, there's times there when nothing was happening.
Yeah.
They didn't record. But it's virtually the whole trial. So we're going to do it again this week. I don't know. I think we'll start Wednesday morning, maybe. Wednesday morning. How's that? And we'll start the whole trial, and we'll run, what we'll do is run one tape on Wednesday, one tape on Thursday, one tape on Friday, and go like that. Because it's some of it's boring, but there's some very interesting stuff on there. And to all those who said that John and Tom just did it to grandstand, we like to throw in their face because, like I said, I'd have rather eaten glass than defend myself in court. But we did it, and I think we did a pretty good job. So we're going to put that on there for you, and you'll probably learn a few things you might need to know if they ever try to hammer you in court on a civil charge. Yeah, but we're still here, Morris. Hey, Morris Dees, I know you like to say we're not around. Then the ADL likes to say, oh, they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
But the more we do, the more they say, well, they're not around anymore. And, of course, since we support the leaderless resistance and the lone wolf, there's not much press about that because we're not showing them anything.
Yeah.
You know, the membership outfits, they get all that attention, all the TV people come around. Well, I'll talk to them, but they're not going to see much. Well, let's go to another one, Dr. Carl Lundberg. Yeah.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Dr. Carl Lundberg.
Hello, Massachusetts.
I just got done reading the Herald article on the rally in Maine. The World Church of the Creator rally in Maine. It's BostonHerald.com. Hey, also, isn't it really something, isn't it a kick in the teeth with the governor of Illinois pardoning 156 death row inmates at the time that they're railroading Pontifex Maximus Matt Hale, who, of course,
most of them are niggers.
Got to be innocent of these phony charges, and he would never do anything so dumb, and
that's right.
It's
a farce.
It's a farce there.
Yeah, it's a farce.
They would love to give Rod Hale the death penalty, like old Ben Crossan said. They always want to kill the best. So they're going
to... Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Now, on this Lewiston, Maine thing, I got to be honest with you, boys. Of course, does that mean I'm not honest the rest of the time?
No.
No, I'm going to, let me tell you the truth.
Truth or lie?
I don't agree with this. I've never agreed with it. I mean, I used to do this kind of stuff. When you go, when a town has got a problem like that, you got to leave it get infected worse and worse till people in the community rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the people in the community won't rise up, there's nothing you can do. If there's no natural leadership comes forward to fight in the community, there's nothing you can do.
Best thing to do would be to get the money together and run like a Greyhound bus, go to New York City and get all these scummy crack addict niggers and just bring them up there and dump them on the street that you love niggers so much. Here's a whole fucking bunch of niggers.
Absolutely, I said that. In fact, I said we ought to print up phony certificates, hand them out at the Greyhound station, say we got jobs and housing,
free food,
everything for African Americans and Somali Americans.
Tell them marijuana is legal up there for niggers.
Yeah, and hand those out at the bus stations and have the buses coming in there by the dozens. And then you get something going. But you see, what happens is, these well-intentioned, and they're well-intentioned, guys and these groups will go marching in, and that gives, and then all the few little creeps that are running the show there, they do all the screaming and yelling, mm-hmm. and then the mayor and the councilman, they all condemn it, mm-hmm. not in our town, mm-hmm. and then they shift the whole argument to so-called fighting mm-hmm. racism, not because there's 50,000 Somalians running all over their town and like that.
I've always found that the people who actually kind of agree with us a little come out against us the strongest because they feel ashamed that they agree with us.
Yes, and I would put signs at the city limits saying, we love niggers,
and
we love
niggers.
Somalians.
Bring your aid.
Yeah, and so they're then the so-called good people, it happens over and over again, they have a big meeting across town condemning racism, you see. This stuff don't work, and I know what guys do because they're wanting to get more members. They think, well, if we have a rally, the whole country will hear about it. And I heard about it, too. I was listening on the radio. But in the long run, it defeats our purpose.
You know, I've been in the movement since 78. Never once has any of these things ever worked. Where you try, you know, if some nigger rapes a white woman and a bunch of guys go out there, try to support it. Never once has the community ever rose up and supported us for 25 years. You know, one of the definitions of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results.
Yes, Dr. Calden.
That's the movement does. It does the same shit over and over
again. I know.
They expect something different to happen.
Yeah, and it never works.
No.
It never works.
All these dads, the nigger will rape and murder their daughter, and they say, well, we're not racist. This has nothing to do with race.
Well, you know what I put on the internet? I said, you know what would be a real news would be if a few of the white men and women in Lewiston got upset and went out and wasted about 50 Somalians.
Yeah.
Now that would be a demonstration.
Oh, yeah.
That would be heard around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, I'm telling you. And also, when these like a woman gets raped, where in the hell is the husband at?
Oh yeah.
And where in the hell are these people at? And if you went in there and blasted these guys, they would testify against you
if they could. Oh, yeah.
Good white Christians.
Yeah.
No, worse is better. Let them stew in their own sweat. Make them become radical. Force them to become radical. And it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while, but don't make it easy on them by going to town and we're going to save your community because they're going to hate you a lot worse than they hate the Somalians.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh, and they want to do it again down at the Southern Poverty Law Center. They want to have a big demonstration. Every time they do that, they make Dees millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He takes the pictures of the people. He sends it out, puts it out on his fund appeal. He's got millions of people on his fund appeal. Oh, my God, the Klan and these people are attacking our headquarters. Send us money. And he makes a fortune.
Yeah.
And these stupid guys just keep doing it over and over and over. And I've told them for years. That's just playing it. Why can't people see that, Dr. Wyatt? Calden Bird?
Well, you know, it goes back to home. Remember the Troy when Ulysses was sending the Trojan horse? And Laocoon was telling him, you know, beware of Greek bearing gifts.
Yes.
So for his foresight, he got rewarded that he was ripped apart by serpents. You know, the Trojans didn't believe him, and the Greeks went in there and they slaughtered him and raped all the women because they wouldn't listen. It's kind of like, in a way, I kind of feel like a Laocoon.
I don't know if that's being run by Billy Roper down there or not, but I think Billy needs a little more time. He needs a little more training.
Is that a National Alliance thing?
Maybe it is a right. I don't know. But they're all trying to do the same thing, and it's wrong. And it's wrong. And it just, you know, Morris Dees is sort of fading out of the picture. You don't hear of him hardly at all anymore.
No.
I don't think he's done a case in a long time.
You know, so he's gonna jump.
This is a time when he's starting to fade out. And the liberals are all over him, too, and accusing him of bad things. All of a sudden, here comes the racist right to build him back up again.
You know, I've heard that Morris Dees now has raised over $500 million, with a B.
Easily.
Yeah.
Because I saw his IRS records. Anybody can write in and get him. He took $7 million in donations off our tribe.
Oh,
he didn't care what the nigger got a dime.
Oh, yeah, the nigger didn't look.
A lot of people think that I was supposed to pay Dees money. I wasn't supposed to pay Dees money. I was supposed to pay the nigger money.
Yeah.
But the nigger has got hardly anything, and Dees has got...
Well, that's what I thought, like, Covington, he's always saying, oh, Meth can't trust Meth just paying Dees money. You stupid fuck realize in civil rights court you never pay the attorney.
You don't pay the attorney. No, or if you did, it'd go right directly to the injured guy. This is, you know, it's stupidity. Yeah. It's sanity, doctor. Are we living in an insane asylum?
That's true.
It's a cuckoo's nest.
Have to be more sane to be a sane asylum.
That's true. Okay, how about one more caller? All right, here we go. This guy's really a tough guy.
Hey, Terrible Tommy.
I'm trying to keep my $20 a month donation up. I think you should push that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Everybody can afford $20 a month.
Then $20.
And I listened to Matt Hannell on Fox News Network with John Kasich, that traitorous former congressman, faggot bastard. Matt Hannell kicked his ass all over the place.
Sure did.
And as far as the N-word goes, funny little story related to you. I was talking to a bunch of nigger acquaintances of mine. I was educating them in political correctness, and I said, look, no matter what a white man sees, you know, African-American, we say African-American or black American, it goes in our brain. As soon as we see it black, it goes in our brain, it comes out African-American or black, but it stays in our brain that you're totally nigger. We're translating it inside our brain as, from nigger to African-American. It's just the way we whites are. And niggers say, yeah, I believe that shit.
Well, I'll tell you what, because your mind, you see pictures. When you hear words, it converts to pictures. So they can say African American or whatever.
Any white man cartoon.
You still see a nigger in your head.
Hey, good job on the January paper. Glad to see you'll be enlarging the print next month. So small, looking at a microscope. Oh, and I'm also glad to see Wyatt Kaldenberg is the new editor, new co-editor, whatever. Keep it up, terrible Tony.
Hey, the Right Reverend Wyatt Kaldenberg, what do you think about that?
Yeah, have the print larger, but have less articles.
Yeah, that's you gotta weigh it.
Yeah.
That's the problem for us to weigh out here, but we might have to go a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Well, the way we do it, you know, it's kind of hard to adjust it because we blow the paper up and stuff, and it blows up. You can't, you know, fix.
Now, look, Doctor, don't give me all those excuses. Just get me a newspaper, okay?
It won't be exact because you can't.
Okay, we can't make everybody happy.
Yeah.
A lot of guys want more articles in the paper. A lot of guys want bigger print. If you make the print too big, very big, then you can't put as many articles in. So they were hooked on a dilemma.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Kaldenberg, we come to the end of the show. Another good one in the can.
Yeah.
Remember, if you want six of these shows on one big videotape that you can plug in your VCR, send $15 donation. And I think it's been a pretty revealing show.
That's true.
Have we offended anyone?
I hope so.
Oh, good. That's good. I always feel good when I offend some people. Yeah, okay. Hey, till next time, this is Terrible Tommy and...
Me.
Me? What the hell is me? I'll see you.